6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
So great that while I was watching episode 9, my dog was wanting to play, and I was just like, leave me alone. I'm watching Star Wars and enjoying it for the first time in years. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another anime. I'm joking. I know this is the Cantina. We're here to talk about Andor Season 2, Episodes 7, 8, and 9. I'm Kyle, joined by one of my cohorts, Cam Clark. I'm switching between Cam and Mike in between weeks, it seems. So hopefully all three of us will be here.
You're the only... the steadfast one for the
moment. Right. Hopefully all three of us will be here next week. But make sure you guys check out more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Lots of it. Reactions, reviews, podcasts, all sorts of fun things covering pretty much everything in geek pop culture entertainment, mostly anime, but a little bit of Star Wars, Wheel of Time, hopefully some more stuff in the future. All of the things that we like to talk about here, we write about over at LRMonline.com, written entertainment news, reviews, leaks, rumors. Cam's got a pretty good BS filter, so be sure to check that out. Check out his written reviews there as well. I'm pointing over here because I got the screen with the thing up. And, of course, the LRM YouTube channel for all sorts of celebrity interviews and the like. Andor Season 2 started out a little... Not bad. You were just kind of, at least I was, I gave those first three episodes the lowest grade out of everyone. I said B plus. After last week and then this week, those first three episodes are like just straight doo-doo. They're not that bad.
Yeah, they had a point though. And I think one of the things I love about kind of Andor season two is like, I wasn't sure how it was going to work, but the one-year gap has been used really well, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, because they're always showing a progression.
Yeah.
You know, something's fundamentally different each time they cut to it, you know, dramatically so this week. But we had to kind of have that point at the start where things were a little bit more like season one, but not, you know.
The first three episodes could have almost been just one long episode as far as like important stuff to cover, and maybe they should have shoved some other events from that year. But anyways, the point being, we ate good these last two weeks. Cam, we missed out on you last week. We read your comments about that series, but just elaborate a little bit more on last week's episodes, and then we'll go into this week's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I just love is the spy thing, you know? Like, so there's different kinds of spy thrillers that you get, and what it reminded me of was a kind of British spy thriller, and I'm thinking John le Carré, you know, and that's why I titled my review Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, so like the Smiley novels and stuff like that, you know, that's where my head was going, the spy who came in from the cold, that sort of thing, far, far away from the James Bond side or the Jason Bourne side or anything like that, and it's this whole, it's that tension of being in that environment and the paranoia involved in it and everything, and you know, there's not a lot of action, it's very much more cerebral, and that's what I felt like last week was, it really kind of like it became that genre for that set of episodes, and I think they really, really did it well, and they built that tension and just kind of paranoia for me really well. And what was different from the way we usually get it in spy thrillers is we actually get both sides of the coin, because normally you don't know what the other side is up to, which adds to the paranoia. But actually, I really love that we get to see both points of view and not fully understanding what each other is up to. It worked really well. I just thought very good set of episodes.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. This one, though. Yeah, this one was better. And why don't you go ahead and start our conversation about episodes 7 through 9, which, you know, it's really good to see something labeled episode 7, 8, and 9 be good, isn't it, Cam?
I guess so, yeah. I've been kind of referring them to as part 1, part 2, part 3, and right. Eventually part 4, because I do, they are all, you know, like Andor season 1, but even more so, they are one story. It's just you have some titles in between each episode. That's the way I'm viewing it, like almost like a movie. And this was just, it was spectacular. I mean, this was the best set of like 3 episodes of any TV show I have watched this year. And I've reviewed a lot of really good TV shows in the last little while. Penguin, Severance season 2,
Wheel of Time season 3.
That's Daredevil Born Again, I reviewed, not quite at this level, you know, but it was decent at times. But like this blows all of that away. It was so well written, shot, acted. I mean, like I can hardly find any faults in it whatsoever or anything specifically to criticize on it. I wouldn't even begin to try, to be honest. That's where I am on it. It's absolutely spectacular. The best. And if the last set of episodes is somehow as good, which I don't think it has to be, but somehow still at that top level, then this season is, for me, the best thing that has been done under the Star Wars name. Not, like I said, season 1 since Return of the Jedi, but I would even go as further to say the only thing I would go above it with is Empire Strikes Back. Mm. Yeah.
It is really good.
That's how good this is.
It was. This is, you know, Rogue One, Mando season 1, Andor season 1, a little bit of Mando season 2, but it did have some goofier moments. A lot of that has scratched that EU itch for me. And this one even more. I mentioned the Wraith Squadron books last week, and I'll mention them again. Great set of books. It does deal more with espionage and secret squirrel missions versus generally Rogue Squadron, which, other than the taking of Coruscant, go in guns blazing, here we are, Rogue Squadron, look at us. The Wraiths were like Green Berets, you know, special forces, and I get a lot of that type of feel from this. These 3 episodes were great. So great that while I was watching episode 9, my dog was wanting to play, and I was just like, leave me alone. I'm watching Star Wars and enjoying it for the first time in years.
Yeah.
It was spectacularly done. There were a few minor things, but I can't even remember what they were. Like, that's how minor they were, where I was just like, that's a bit annoying. And then it was gone because whatever replaced it, you know, I just remember having some moments where I was like, eh, and then it's, oh.
I mean, I'm guessing you probably felt like episode one is the weakest of these three because it's kind of the setup episode, right? So it's setting everything up for the next two.
Yeah,
right?
But even then, it's not
a little bit. It was still great. I know it's still great. But I'm guessing you probably rate 8 and 9 higher than 7. That's all I'm saying. Would that
probably
be accurate?
Probably. I do remember one.
The
thing.
Question then becomes, which one did you like better, the Gorman one or the Senate one?
I'm not 100% sure. I do remember one thing that annoyed me, though, and that's Mothma running down the stairs with Andor. It was like, okay, I got it. You guys are going down the stairs, and it's a lot of stairs. And
you felt it went about long.
Yeah, I was just like, let's move on from this shot. Like, we got – it's – you know, it kind of killed some of the momentum for me. But at the same time, I think that's kind of what it was meant to do. But it was kind of like on a roller coaster where you hit those hard brakes, and you're like –
yeah,
and then it just kind of coasts
kind of
to the next
the
thing.
The immediate danger was over. Kind of,
yeah, yeah.
At that moment,
I think
see
that's what they were
there's
doing.
There's no drama around about them, you know. And stuff like, yeah, I know.
I don't know which one I would rate higher. They're both great for different reasons, individual reasons.
The
action you have in that episode 8 and the slaughter massacre, whatever. That was great. I love the who are you? reminded me of Thanos and freaking Wanda in a way where it's like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, I don't even know. And Cyril didn't have time to think of a way to come back. Like, you will.
Yeah.
That moment where he just kind of, he thinks for a minute and he almost slightly drops his blaster and then just bombs.
Right,
and, you know,
skull.
What a great way to end that fight, because it's just pure random almost, doesn't it? But at the same time, it's not random because you see where this has come from earlier on in the previous episode when the guy confronts Cyril and starts blaming him for this. And of course, he's still at this point clueless. He's only just starting to understand really is happening.
And it's
and I love the way that even though like he's just discovered the Empire, I don't think like he's attacking Cassian like, oh, I'll be good and try to attack Cassian. I think it's just that moment where he's like, you
ruined my
and
life. I was,
and I'm going to attack you.
Yeah, I was doing one thing, going one way, and now I'm here. I've lost my girl, and I'll probably never get another. Like, and then to realize that this guy hasn't given you a second thought since the last time you saw him. Like,
yeah.
It like none of that matters to him. It was great. It was great. I think we should read Shockey's thoughts before we get into our grades. And Shockey will kind of start with our grades. So Mike said, overall A+ for all three episodes. This was the absolute best Star Wars has been since the original trilogy. If the show had ended there, I would have been happy. Dan Gilroy is an amazing writer, and Tony Gilroy has done a great job of managing the tone of the show and respecting Star Wars lore. Good words, and I 100% agree. A+. Last week, A+. This week, A+. Week one, still B+. So leave it there. This was just phenomenal. It's been so long since feeling this way. Probably the last time being Andor season 1, and then before that some of Mando season 2. And I know you got a partial heart for Mando 2.5, which is within the Boba Fett things, but I don't know. I love Jedi. I love the Force and stuff like that. But this was always my Star Wars stuff. I always liked the grittier, not necessarily grounded, because it's still Star Wars laser blasts and hyperspace, right? But relatively more grounded. I liked following characters that made a difference. A difference that didn't necessarily always get the headlines, like Luke would,
Yeah.
What about you, Cam?
Yeah, and that I think that is what Andor is. You know, like, you know, and they kind of almost hint like that. You know, I love the way that they brought the Force in a little bit in this. You know, but yeah, just a little bit. Somebody
I was a little
very
iffy on that.
Weak in the Force. But actually, what I really liked about it was this idea that the kind of Force, if you like, because we know it has a will for more than just Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. It's putting puzzles, pieces into place all over the place. And although this person's not trained well enough to define it, she just senses that he's got something important to do. You know, and I like that.
My only issue was them saying Force healer. Because, and this is George's fault. This is all George's fault for his weird, wonky... Nobody remembers the Jedi, but they do. Nobody remembers the Sith, but it only happened 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? It's George's fault.
Timeline's a bit wonky.
Yeah, when you get to the original trilogy era, and this is right before it, you don't feel that people know that much. And like I said, it only bothered me on a surface level, and it's George's fault.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I liked how Andor was skeptical. Like Cassian's very skeptical of it all because he doesn't understand that side of things, you know. So it was just that little touch, and any more would have been too much.
Yeah.
But no, I liked it. So I'm A+. And in fact, I mean, like so far, I've been for part one, I was A, part two, A+, part three, A+. So this one must really be A++. Because as much as it was an A+ last week, I like this better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just have to be honest in that. I'm not saying that I would downgrade last week. It's still an A+ set of episodes. I just thought this was even better. I don't know what else I can say about it. I agree with probably everything that Shockey said. It's brilliant Star Wars, but it's not just good Star Wars. This is some of the best TV of any TV in any genre you're going to find this year. That's how good it is. You know, I review TV shows all the time. Yes, not all kinds of TV shows, they tend to be focused on that geek culture, but you know, we got a lot of good TV shows, sci-fi shows, stuff like that. Some of them are brilliant, but none of them are at this level. That's the honest truth. It's that well written, and just the production values are so good.
Oh yeah, I mean, we'll never see Star Wars like this again, ever. And not just because
we'll never spend this kind of money
not just because it's not hitting it's done well. I think they said episode 8 was one of the highest watched episodes in a long time ever. It's like top 10. It did well.
There's some report
like
the other day that they reckon that it's brought in 300 million worth of subscribers or money in subscribers. I don't know how you'd define that.
I would say that would be
hard. Would you know that's why they subscribe? Yeah,
exactly. But
that's the streaming environment. You're right. They'll never do something that expensive again.
And it's
what I hope they do, though, Kyle, is like, because the challenge is in the writing, right, is that they try and do mature content like that again, but just on a lower scale. You know,
I
not as grand sets. You know,
I wish they would, but I don't think they will. I was gonna, you know, I love bringing up the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, which at one point, while it had TV budget, definitely had better than standard issue TV writing, and especially better than standard issue.
It was high
TV,
budget
sci-fi
for a TV show,
writing.
But of the time, still nothing compared to what we've recently seen from TV shows.
But this, I've said it before, man. This show makes me wish we had. You know, I've always said how tired I was of the time between episodes 3 and 4, and that's mostly because of the animation and all these stories and games and everything we're trying to shove in between 3 and 4. That I don't want any more. But if I could go back in time and instead get us a like one big encompassing show where you get to, you know, 20 episodes in a season and you're covering the politics and all of this Empire stuff, man. I would love something that was really focused on the Empire's side of things. Yeah. Like the,
it's, and you can do that with a decent budget. Like, if you look at the inside shots of Partagaz and Daedra and all that sort of stuff, right? You know, that's not that expensive to do, apart from
they won't
really
do
good
it.
Actors.
And that's, that was my point, is it's not just the, it's not just the budget. It's not just the budget. What sells, and it still remains to be seen whether or not Mon Mothma arrives on the Ghost and we get any sort of cameos. I know Gilroy was like, there's no cameos, but I think he shot down some specific ones like Palpatine and Vader. But we could see the Ghost or maybe even a Ghost crew member. There might be something like that.
I think
like
he's smart enough to know that they don't need to show that. I don't think we'll
That's
see
what I'm hoping.
If we see Mon
That's
again,
what I'm
I don't
hoping.
Think we'll see her till Yavin, because it's a year later next set of episodes, remember? So.
Yeah, and that was one of my biggest worries about this when I saw, you know, we're going to get her speech, because that's how she gets to Yavin, right? Was on the Ghost.
Yeah.
I was like, please don't. If anything, just show the ship flying off as she's walking off. But the point I'm making is that's what people want. They wanted to see that. They wanted those characters, even though they already saw it in animation format. They wanted to see it again. Yeah. I'm glad that it looks like we won't get to see it. And that's what they're gonna go back to, man. I mean, every time we think,
some people criticized as well the speech because it's slightly different from Rebels, right? But I was reading an interview about it today, and obviously Dan Gilroy that wrote it, he kind of turned around to Tony and said, like, after watching that episode, do I have to stick to this speech? And of course he didn't. You know, it covers roughly the same content, but the difference in writing between
what is acceptable
for a cartoon episode and what is that. It's like night and day, mate. It's
and
night
that
day.
Is...
And anybody complaining that it's not the same, go and complain to Dave Filoni, who wrote the Rebels one then, because, you know, don't complain to Dan Gilroy for writing something like that.
Here's the thing, and it goes back to that whole idea of, it's fine for there to be Star Wars animation. It should have never been canon. It should have never been canon. Star Wars is too big to be held back.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
I'm gonna piss people off. Held back by wonky-ass Western animation and wonky-ass Western animation storytelling. Seriously, it is frustrating the amount of content that is essentially locked because of a crappy-looking cartoon. I will rag on the animation style forever.
It was done to just make money quickly and inexpensively at a time because they couldn't do it in live action, right? But the problem is, tonally, when people are writing for a cartoon, they know in their heads they're writing for a cartoon. They know that they need to keep it simple enough to keep the kids involved. 10-year-olds,
yep.
So the dialogue, everything becomes more simple.
Yeah.
The problem we've had lately with Star Wars live action...
They've been doing live action like cartoons.
All they've done is cartoon-level scripting, but shot in live action. So it costs a hell of a lot more, but it
sucks.
It's not adult content, and
it's not even all ages content, it's just childish content.
Yeah, but there's too many of the fan base, you know, that's what they kind of grew up with. They came in through Rebels and Clone Wars, and this is what they think Star Wars is. So Andor is, instead of being like, for us, is to be celebrated, for them it's like, why did Star Wars get weird and go that direction? Okay,
no,
well,
you guys
do
got
that,
weird,
but get us back to the cartoony stuff. I want to see Ahsoka climbing on a wing where and deflecting ship laser
ship
blast
laser blasts.
Saber
that's
like that,
just
you
so cool, man. And look, guys, I know a lot of you enjoy it. I'm picking. I'm taking a what do you Brits say? Taking the piss out of you or something like that. I am a bit. It is frustrating though because regardless of what George said. And I know he's the creator, he's the maker, but he's not infallible. Despite what he said about, oh, this is for 10-year-olds, neither episodes 4 nor 5 were for 10-year-olds. They're all ages. No. They're accessible. And I bring this up all the time, okay? My generation, older millennials specifically, Cam's generation, the youngest of the Gen Xers, and of course the older Gen Xers, of course, but we grew up to where when we were young, we had toys for rated R properties. There were video games for Rambo and Alien and Alien, and it wasn't aimed at the 20-something, 30-something-year-olds that were old enough to watch it when it came. And no, it was for us. We had Alien toys. We had RoboCop cartoons, like... This whole idea that kids, Ghostbusters, I freaking, which tattoo is it? There it is. I freaking love Ghostbusters, right? When I watched Ghostbusters as a kid, I wasn't like, oh, golly gee, I wish there was a 10-year-old with a proton pack in this. It would just be great. No, I was like, these 40-year-old dudes are busting ghosts, and I'm all about it. It was the proton pack that tickled.
A film has to believe in its own mythology, right? So if you're in the Ghostbusters world, to everyone in that world, it has to feel like this is a real thing that's actually happening.
Yeah.
And the first movie, for example, did that. The original Star Wars felt like that. It felt like a real place where this is happening. It's just far away from us, and it's got its own thing, but it's a real place. I think they lost a bit. They definitely lost a lot of that with the prequels, with the clunky dialogue and the overuse of CGI, the choreography being wrong, and we've never got it back, but Andor brings that back in spades to us, and that's why we love it, you know, because it's someone who watched the original trilogy and thought, I love this universe, here's the story I'm going to tell, you know. And when you see this now, this Andor season 1, season 2, and how it fits into Rogue One, if we ignore some of the weird cameos that Lucasfilm insisted they would put in, you know, which is not Gilroy. You know, and that leading into the original trilogy, as we've said before, you know, that's, we don't actually need anything else. You just need the mythology of what happened in the prequels. You don't need to actually watch them, you know, start there. And that's,
everyone's entitled to like what they like. My favorite band in the whole wide world is New Found Glory. There are people that can make fun of that all day long. It doesn't matter. I have bought every out. They have taken hundreds, if not $1,000+ between album sales, ticket sales to concerts, merch. Oh yeah, it's probably a couple $1,000s over 20+ years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I'm happy with that, and that's fine. There are people that will make fun of me for that all day long. So
music's
don't,
so subjective though that you'll never get two people.
So is what you like with movies and television. So if you like the childish crap that Dave Filoni force fed you because you had nothing else, that's fine. But you guys have to admit that Star Wars at its core was at one point a general audience thing. And that you as a kid, it's not your fault. It's really not. It's those Gen X parents and older millennial parents that infantized, I know I'm saying that wrong, that kept you from getting into RoboCop and Alien and Predator at too young of an age. But maybe we should have let you guys get into it a bit.
Because we
maybe
got access to these things that we were just smarter enough to go, wait a minute, you shouldn't be watching RoboCop, you shouldn't be watching Alien, you know what I mean? Maybe it was us that ruined it ourselves.
But think about it this way. So my son's 11, he's already seen Alien. He watched Alien last year or a year before, so 9, 10 years old, I think 10, somewhere around 10, he watched Alien. I was a little bit younger. There are things that he's into. He loves Ghostbusters, the original. He loves Ninja Turtles, the older cartoons, and some of the newer stuff. By newer, I mean like the 2012 cartoon. There are a lot of things that I introduced him to and wanted to get him into. He's already seen the first Critters movie and other horror movies and stuff like that. I think some people did realize we shouldn't, and I definitely made him wait a little longer, but I don't know why people, I don't know why, there's way worse stuff to see than fake violence, you know what I'm saying? Especially gratuitous like RoboCop, come on now, you know? There's worse things out there. It really upsets me that Star Wars is expected to be childish, like you said, because of George and the, no matter what he said, 4 and 5, not that way. And 6, the Jedi, if you take out the Ewoks and of course the stupid song, there's nothing really, dude. Some of the best dialogue in all of Star Wars comes from Return of the Jedi.
I mean, that is just proper drama. You know, that's adult drama.
The hallway scene?
Scenes, man. You know, that's just awesome. The acting, Ian McDermott, you know, chewing up the screen as Palpatine. It's just absolutely awesome.
It is.
But you're right that there was an element of the childishness did come into that film, and maybe that is where it started. I get that. And maybe George Lucas's intention was more to keep this lighthearted, but
that's not the roots it took.
Film with a space station blowing up an entire planet, showing Aunt Beru and Uncle Ben's burnt dead bodies.
Uncle Owen.
I mean, these are not things you do for. I don't know what I was saying there, Matt, but it's late here where I am. you don't do that. If you want to make, why did he do that and say it's like a kid's film? Yeah. And then you get to Empire. And I remember I was very young when I first watched Empire, and it was too dark for me in terms of, it didn't become my favourite until I got a little bit old. An older child still, but it's still an older child. Like at 3 or 4 when I first seen it, it was like, it's not as good as the first one. You know,
as far as I can remember,
even come out.
And I'd have to double check with my dad. As far as I can remember, Empire was always my favorite because of the Hoth battle and Luke's training. Like, as far as I can remember now, there might be a few years early on watching. I think the first tapes I watched.
What age were you when you started Star Wars?
Oh, dude, I was like four. Like, that's what I'm saying. Four or five. Because I think the earliest ones I saw.
I'm talking like younger than that, I guess.
Yeah, for
maybe
where
it's slightly different.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because I saw Return of the Jedi in the cinema in 1983 when I was five.
Yeah.
So I must have seen the other ones a bit like.
And that's what I'm saying. I might be mistaken because my dad had tapes. Like, that's how we were watching it. And I think they were recorded off of like HBO or something like that. I don't remember.
Mine's were recorded off the TV 100%. Yeah.
So there might be a time where maybe I did ask him to watch another one more. But I can remember when I had my own tapes a few years later, we were back from Germany. So this is getting into like 92-ish, 93. And I'm getting my tapes. I can remember just Empire, and then Jedi a bit. And then, man, episode 4 has always been kind of the weakest, hasn't it? In some ways. Yeah.
In a sense, you know, there's some things that they, the point where they had no more footage that they could have included in that film, so they had to like stretch it out and make things just work. But you know, given what it achieved though, that had never been achieved before,
absolutely,
you know, they needed to make that film to be able to make Empire and then Jedi later on. But you're right. But getting back to Andor though,
we've been on quite the tangent, right? Oh my god,
we are so enthusiastic about this show and reminiscing about Star Wars because it brings back to us that feeling that we had where this was a premium franchise and a franchise that, as you say, was available for, and or I guess maybe not for
it,
younger
it's
kids.
It's not for
I
like 9 year olds.
It's not all ages.
It's not. But it's definitely for like 12 and up.
At least the older people, which we're not getting from other Star Wars content, which the kids are getting catered for. And we're saying, okay, fair enough, you've got that, but you need to cater to people our age as well.
Where's ours?
Because we're the ones that buy the subscriptions and pay the money. You know, most people our age earn more money than people 20 years younger than us. That's just how the world has always worked, and vice versa. So, you know, make us some TV shows because we're sitting and watching them. We're not out, you know, living life. We're stuck at home looking after kids and watching TV shows.
Dealing with back pain. Look, I got my heating pad on my computer chair today.
Yeah, we were just discussing back pain earlier on something we both experience at our senior years. But we're not quite senior years yet.
And season 2 turning out to just be phenomenal. We've gotten more of Andor himself as the episodes go on, you know. I've mentioned that as a complaint in the first arc. Little less in the second arc. Theory time. Do you think Luthen survives? I don't. I think he's a dead man.
No, what Andor does really well is the stuff you just know is going to happen, right? It's like almost like spoiler level. Look, we know Cassian survives until Rogue One, right? So you never have any risk for him. But you know, I'm actually surprised Bix survived.
Same
to be
here.
Honest, and that she's just left. Like,
same
I thought she
here.
Was a good winner,
I
right?
really honestly thought but, she would self-delete. And I don't mean that like in a callous way.
Yeah, yeah.
She went through some stuff, the drugs, like
tap out.
Like
Mon Mothma's speech, we know is going to happen. The Gorman massacre, you know it's going to happen. It's about how they pull it off. Kind of don't know where they're going next week because we know what Rogue One is, right? You know, and we know that Cass has to get to there. We know that it's a year later, so we're now only a year away from Rogue One, basically. Or roughly thereabouts. It might be 6 months or something like that. It's a little bit after Rogue One, the Battle of Yavin. But, you know, so we know roughly where everybody's going to be. But I'm just thinking now, the characters' fates, we still have to determine Dedra, what's mm-hmm. going to happen to her, and really Luthen. Those are the two, I think, for me, because I don't think Willman matters enough for anything that we need to know what happens to him, and whether he died or survived or carried, or if he's there when Luke Skywalker turned up. It doesn't matter. But Luthen, you don't see a situation where Luthen is somehow, you know, chatting to people about how he started the rebellion sometime after the Battle of Endor. That just doesn't feel like it's coming. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about this set of episodes is we're kind of, because the rebellion's moved on a little bit, we're seeing him come to the end of his shelf life as to what he's done. The time for the secrecy, the subterfuge, for him to be in control of absolutely everything is kind of over. He's being superseded now by a proper military. Yeah. Which is a political leader, and Mon Mothma has its own generals, and they don't need him for that anymore, really. So he has to, things have to go end for him, but it's how it's going to happen. Yeah. I just don't know. Yeah,
I can foresee. It'll be interesting to see. I can foresee some explosions at his shop, him and what's her name's shop, and I even wonder if she'll survive. I forget her name.
That could be possible, yeah. But,
yeah.
Kea, I think it is.
Something like that. The one that's always doing the radio communications and stuff.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
His assistant. I do. I think they might not necessarily have like a last stand, but for some reason have to get caught up in an explosion or decide, hey, I'll go down with this ship. But almost kind of like he has too many secrets and they might be on to him and coming after him. And it's like, well, let's just, you know what I'm saying? Just like Mon couldn't be captured. He can't be captured. He can't be.
Here's what I'm thinking. We've still not had a proper Luthen monologue this season. I could see him
getting captured. Came kind of close a few episodes ago.
Yeah, a little bit close when he had his talk to Andor. But I could see a situation where he gets captured and it basically explains to the questioners that it's irrelevant now that they've caught Axis because it's beyond his control now, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the events which have, like, maybe there's some of the rebellion, you know, do something and as a military force next week or something like that, and it just shows that, you know, he's done his job. You know what I mean? He's achieved what he wanted to achieve, so he's ready to go, you know what I mean? Kind of thing, and almost leave them with, like, there's nothing to ask him because I don't know. I don't know when now all
started.
My people are dead. Yeah. You know, they're all dead. You go and find the rebels, that's where they are now, you know, kind of thing.
I could almost
see that type of situation coming across. For Dedra, though, what I think would be quite funny is if she's ambitious, she keeps getting promoted. If Krennic promotes her to a job on the Death Star,
that would be nice.
So look, we end up, we're still alive, but we as the audience know
she'll
she's
die
going
one day.
At some point,
yeah.
Kaboom, you know, or they put her in Alderaan. or Scarif. What if she's in Scarif?
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like they put her in the records place in Scarif or something, which of course we know gets a Death Star blast. But something connected to the Death Star would be poetic for her, considering
she's responsible.
She was
for
instrumental in it being developed in some ways in her own little way.
I could like some things like that. That's big brain thinking, guys. And I know everyone out there that was ranting about, oh, there was Darth Maul cutting off heads and there was darkness in the, yeah, you got your moments, but come on, guys, let us have ours now. You have all the cartoon stuff in the world. Let us have this, and please, Lucasfilm, do something similar, lower budget.
We understand this kind of happened again, but
you could even do something set in the what I'm sure will be the new Republic post First Order. Mm-hmm. You could do something similar with the retaking of Coruscant, resetting up, reestablishing the new Republic,
or the new Galactic Alliance. First Order being a clandestine organization rising up or something. I don't
something.
Know, but something. Yeah, just something that's aimed at being mature.
A little
know,
bit.
And a little bit of darkness in it.
At least all ages. At least something that is something that challenges the 10 to 12 year old brain, not just tickle it. So, any final thoughts on Andor season 2, part 3, episodes 7 through 9, Cam?
Cool. No, I don't think so. I think we've said enough.
I think so too. You guys should check out more content here on the channel. Lots of it. Podcasts, reviews, reactions, mostly anime, but a little bit of everything in geek, pop culture, entertainment. What we talk about there, we write about at LRMonline.com. Mostly Cam, but Shockey, myself, and others. LRM's YouTube channel for celebrity interviews and the like. And hey, we do have audio podcasts. Our stuff goes up on all your favorite podcast apps. I guess that's it, Cam. We are done. We are out of here. We will see you guys one more time next week, hopefully with all three of us. May the Force be with you.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.